It is good to be with you this morning. We are in our second week of the Advent. You heard the cute family here doing their thing and just killing it. That was awesome. But I'm in my 53rd year of Advent. How about you? Can you do the math? Can you figure out where that is? Some of you are with me on that. You guys know what the problem with that is, right? It can get familiar. Right, like any time that you sort of do something over and over, like it kind of can get familiar and it can sort of get routine and, oh, yeah, it's Advent, right. Right, we're going to anticipate, that's Advent means anticipate, what something kind of big deal is about to happen. Yeah, that's on the 24th if you're in my family, or the 25th if you don't know how to do Christmas right. Whoa, just throwing down there just for a moment there. Come on, the atmosphere on Christmas Eve is way better. Anyways, that's the challenge, right? So we're in Advent, and the reason we do Advent is, as I said, it's to kind of help us think and think afresh and not just sort of break into routine, but to break out of the routine. I mean, we do routine things, but we want to see them in a fresh way, and we want to anticipate what God is doing. Our theme this year is Among Us. Right, you see that? God is among us. And he wants to make himself known to us. And that's an important thing. God wants to make himself known to us. God isn't just some sort of, thing out there trying to do the Star Trek thing. That's not just what God is, right? God actually wants to make himself known to us, to you, and to me. And that's really what this Christmas season is all about. It reminds us of that truth. I get to speak on this concept that this God who is among us and wants to make himself known is the Creator God. He's the Creator God. And we live in an amazing world that I believe, that God created. And within the scientific community, they're starting to conclude and understand that there really was a beginning. And what they're seeing more and more and more as the years go by, that it wasn't just some sort of random happenstance. It didn't just sort of kind of, how did that creep up on us? That's amazing. No, it wasn't that. That there's an intentionally designed, finely tuned world that we live in. Now, probably a lot of you enjoy watching the crime shows just like I do, and you know what the trump card in every case is. It's DNA, right? Now, listen, I've just about failed out of every science class I had, so I am coming at you with some really weak science this morning, okay? But I've read it, and I'm trying to quote it. I screwed it up in the first service. I did it better at CPC. I'm going to see if I can nail it here. Okay, so now listen, DNA is important, and it's amazing, and DNA is not random at all. We have DNA in our body, and our body is made up of cells. We have all kinds of cells in us. We have 10 trillion, that's a big number, folks, 10 trillion cells in our body. One of you are going, whoa, okay. Well, okay, now listen, in every one of those cells are 6 feet of DNA. Let's do the math. 6 feet, I know, wow, 6 feet of DNA. 10 trillion cells, that's like 10 billion miles racing around in here and in there and there and every one of them. I know, you're like, whatever, that's too big. I know, that's kind of the point. It's too big. It's hard to understand. Let me share another story that won't wow you. All right? Okay, so DNA is in every living organism. Right? Okay, we got that. DNA is in every living organism. And as I said earlier, DNA is not just some sort of, interesting, random thing. No. DNA is coherent and it's structured information. It's very logical and it makes sense. The dun, 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 dun. Okay? That's DNA. Told you, I'm not a science guy. Dun, 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 dun. Okay. Listen, an amoeba is anywhere from 5 to 10 hair, I can't find any here, there it is, 5 to 10 hair widths, okay, so quite small. And do you know that the DNA in an amoeba could fill 30 encyclopedias? That's a book, folks, like 30 of them. How many DNA are in our body? How many billions of... I can't compute. See, it blows my mind. But we've got a God who's above that, right? Like, he gets all of that. Like, that is crazy. And you see, what's crazy about it is that this God, this creator God, who made it all happen, made you happen, right? This God wants to come and dwell among us. Now, that's crazy, but that's the story. If you got a Bible, John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, smartphone, something like that with a Bible on it. I don't mind you pulling your phone out. That's awesome. Rock it. Do whatever you need to do. There's Bibles on there. And just follow along, would you? John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now again, just like Advent, this is a fairly familiar set of verses for some of us. Let's make sure that we don't just settle into the familiar. Let some things kind of pop out for us this morning, could we? I mean, these are foundational verses. They talk about the beginnings, the start, and how. They help us and offer us some insight that there's probably more to life than you're experiencing. It offers us some consideration of purpose and hope for our individual lives. I mean, it starts off with, you know, the Word was with God and the Word was God. And that's maybe a little confusing, and yet he was with God in the beginning, and through him he created all these things, and then the Word became flesh, which is where we end up today with Jesus and baby Jesus and all. And the Word was Jesus, who is our Creator, who is at the beginning, and yet he decided not to stay up in heaven, and he came down because he was looking around, and he was seeing that we're struggling. Struggling in life. And this Creator God, who designed it all, who knows us, who created us in his image, wants to come and offer us life. You see, this Creator is Jesus. And in him, you see it right there in verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. I love that word, all mankind. He came to offer it to us all. Now, the Creator, Jesus, was the designer. He was the architect, the artisan, if you like, the author who made the galaxies, the heavens and the earth. I mean, it's unbelievable when you stop and really think about it. In this Creator, God, Jesus, we can find life, purpose, reason, meaning. And I love the pic that John shares there in this life, right? It's light for all people. This light, dark days, no, he comes and this light will never be put out. He comes and he wants to shine a light on our path, on our way, on our life, our day-to-day experience. And it's for all people, women, men, Canadian, Euro, any language, any background. Prodigals, screw-ups, people with past, right? Like people like you and me. people who wake up on a Sunday morning and the last thing they ever think about is going to church. People who used to wake up on Sunday morning and the first thing they thought about was going to church, and then something happened and they don't do that anymore. Like, he's come for all mankind. Pastor Steve just did a phenomenal job just reminding us that this love through the prodigal story, this love of God is for all, right? It's for the prodigals, those who have gone out and just kind of, you know, flipped God the bird and said, you know, I'm doing my own thing. And then for those who feel like they're like the shining star, the self-righteous, and everywhere in between. That's our God who wants to dwell among us, who loves us. We spend a lot of time making a living. But what I know about that is that we don't really find life in our making a living. It's good. It's one. Nothing wrong with something new, shiny, better. Love it. Bring it. But you know, at the end of the day, that's not the ultimate purpose. And it's good to be good at what you do. Don't hear me wrong. I mean, we can go a long ways on speaking about that. But you know that it can't just be producing, being productive. For those of you who are a little older, tearing that little corner off your day timer and going, ah, there's a day done. Next page. It's more than that. We live in a world that's smaller than it's ever been. Communication and travel makes, I mean, just things so accessible that just really weren't not too long ago. Social media, the groups and things that you can do, the friends that you really may or may not have. How many of us have 738 friends, right? Podcasts, tweets. Some of you are lucky to be able to tweet out the purpose in life in 280 characters. Good for you. And there's been more books, again, books, right, written on pretty much everything. But the question I've got is, as I told you, I'm working on my 53rd Advent. And what that affords me is less time in the shower because of my hair. But no, what that affords me is I got a bit of perspective that I didn't have maybe, you know, in my 23rd year or so. And what I've been observing is are we really any better at life? Like, it's a struggle, isn't it? We look around our world, and it's a hurting and struggling world, and we know that because we're hurting and we're struggling. And we see it every day. And so Jesus saw that when he was up in heaven, and he chose to obey his Father and to come down and to live. The Creator Jesus, he made his home among us. So now we're back to Advent, are we? Mary and Joseph, right? I mean, that's what this season is, the inns, the manger, the shepherds. Are we allowed to mention Herod? He's kind of the evil part of the story. The stars, baby Jesus, of course. This Creator God, Jesus, came to make himself known to us. He lived and breathed and experienced the full range of emotions and experiences that you and I face. He had the highs and the lows. He knew what it was to have friends. He knew what it was to experience joy and laughter. He ate and feasted and enjoyed meals. He also faced hunger. He knew loss. He knew pain. Emotional, physical. He knew what it was to receive at the same time sort of the applause of men and the stab in the back. He knew what it was to experience heartbreak. You see, baby Jesus, right, he grew and he became a man. And he was tempted in any way a human could, yet he never caved. He never gave in. Jesus, while he was on earth, interacted with all outcasts and marginal people to the top of the caste system, if you like. And everyone in between. He was a toddler. Can you imagine that? Jesus, what would that be? He was a teenager. That, I don't know what that would look like. And he was a carpenter. And this is completely not related at all, but I get it. I just wonder, did he ever cut twice only to discover that the board was still too short? Like, Could he? Not sure. What about, I'll expect that he hit his thumb once and felt that throb, right, that all of us good carpenters have experienced, because you're not a carpenter unless you've experienced. Listen, he experienced it all. He did it all. But you see, then in the last 3 years of his life, he kind of handed over those carpenter belt, and he changed. And Jesus became a teacher, a mentor, a coach, if you like. He was a forgiver. He was someone who empowered people. He was someone who challenged people. He was someone who inspired others. And he was phrased as a king and a savior and a counselor. And it just goes, is on and on and on. And he lived out this life and on a way that the early followers were said to follow the way. And it was just called that. And he had teachings. And if you've been around God and church and the scriptures, the Bible, you understand these teachings can be incredibly freeing, but not just that, they're incredibly challenging. But as we discover who Jesus is and we discover his way and we listen to his call when he calls us to follow him, you see, he can call us to follow him because he wants to dwell among us. And he's not distant. He's not like way out there somewhere, although he kind of is, but he's also right here with us. He calls us to follow him, to find life, to find reason and purpose and hope, to find that light that's talked about there, that's for all of mankind, that will direct us and give us light on our path. Because I don't know about you, but I need that. It's hard, this life. Now you see, this creator is Jesus. And he's among us and made himself known. But what's a little scary for me is what's said right in the middle here. Verse 10 and 11. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. And then in verse 11 it says his own people didn't receive him. His own people were the Jewish people. They were anticipating him. There were all kinds of things in Scripture prophesying, predicting that he was going to come and the Savior, Messiah, was going to save his people. And Jesus came to say, yeah, his people are all the people. Why? Because I'm the Creator God. But it's possible to not recognize him. It's possible to know the story and yet not actually receive him. And that should cause each and every one of us this morning to push the button pause. That should cause each and every one of us this morning to consider in a fresh way, what does this Advent season look like for me this year? What does it mean? I mean, I know you know his name. I know you know that it was possible there wasn't three wise men. Congratulations. That's great. Bethlehem, yep, got it. Not in an inn. The innkeeper was horrible. What was wrong with him? You know, we know some of those little particulars. But I'm asking, do you know him? Don't confuse some form of religiosity for knowing Jesus. Many men and women were very religious in his day. And many of those religious men and women were the ones who were stoning him and scoffing at him and put him on the cross. Jesus calls us to follow him, and we can read his story very directly in the historical books that remind us of his life, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I would encourage you to get after that. And you know what? I would encourage you not just to read the Advent story in there. Keep going. There's some good stuff in there. Get beyond that. That's cool. It's good. But keep rolling. And I guess this morning, I just want to ask, for me, sometimes what I have to do is I have to stop and sort of ask myself some questions. How do I know? Like, what... what gets his heart beating? Like, what keeps Jesus maybe up at night and up early in the morning? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what really grabs him? Do you know that? Do you know how Jesus treated the opposite sex? Because, folks, we need to learn how to treat the opposite sex. Do you understand how to respond as Jesus responded when you've been wronged? And frankly, you were right. But how do you respond? Do you understand why by holding back, rage and anger grows into this horrible thing called bitterness and envy and jealousy and revenge, and how that will destroy you? Like, do you understand Jesus' way? See, I start trying to think like that, and I'm like, man, I need to get that better. I need to work on that. I need to follow him harder. I need to have him closer. I need to have him dwell within me. See, I'm here to tell you this morning that in him is life, but I can tell you it's not easy. It's not simple. It's way more than a cute little candle lighting and a little manger and some really cool lights that I was able to buy the other day that are just not up yet. Like, it's so much more than that. What were his attitudes, his actions, his reactions? Do you recognize them? Would people recognize Jesus, like, in you? In how you do life? So Jesus, our creator God, it's unbelievable. I mean, what words do you ascribe to him? He's great. He's incredible. He designed and created all that we know and see here, and he designed and created you in his image, and he's designed and created and authored, penned if you like, typed, I don't care, the way that you might find life in him. So I'm going to ask you kind of a funny question here at the end, just for this season that might sort of jerk us maybe out of the familiar, the routine of this Christmas season. Are you willing to let baby Jesus out of the manger this Advent Christmas season? Are you willing to let him out of the manger? Are you willing to let Jesus grow up and become the man, right? Become your leader. Become the person you follow. To be the light for your path. Will you let Jesus be increasingly known in your life? God is among us. And not just in some ethereal, you know, spacey way. He's made himself known. And that God, one of the names of that God, one of the attributes of that God is that he is creator God. And he knows you, and he knows the way. And when we follow him and come to him, we can find life. I hope and pray that you'll discover that in a fresh way. Like, you'll encounter Jesus in a fresh way this Christmas season, and that then through that God will shape you and mold you, and you'll give that out in crazy radical ways.